From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, August 9th. Coming up, we'll learn about a measure in Illinois that would transform how the state funds higher education. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Illinois State Fair is underway in Springfield, and some top officials are urging you to try it. Alex Degnan has more.
Without further ado, let's cut the ribbon and open the gates on the 2024 Illinois State Fair.
Governor J.B. Pritzker says the State Fair is one of his favorite events of the year.
We get to celebrate our state, our people, the great food.
The Springfield Fair drew more than 700,000 people last year, but attracting people from Chicago who can choose from dozens of summer festivals in the Wisconsin State Fair in Milwaukee can be a challenge. Attorney General Kwame Raoul from Chicago says the food alone is worth it.
I'm trying to, you know, be careful about my diet, but coming down to the State Fair is a time when I can just let my hair down, so to speak, not literally.
The Illinois State Fair runs through August 18th. I'm Alex Degnan.
Governor J.B. Pritzker has signed a trio of bills designed to protect access to reproductive health care in Illinois. One measure guarantees the right to life-saving care, including abortions, even if federal protections get rolled back. Another doesn't allow local or state agencies to share any information with another state that wants to prosecute someone for coming to Illinois for an abortion or gender-affirming care. Pritzker says measures like these are important post-Roe.
These laws were crafted to shield Illinoisans from future attacks by the U.S. Supreme Court and other bad actors who will attempt to impose their backward ideology on the rest of us.
The third new law guarantees people can't be discriminated against in housing, employment, or public accommodations because they've had an abortion, IVF treatments, and more. Some Illinois delegates say they're thrilled to see Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris pick Minnesota Governor Tim Walz to be her VP. Tessa Weinberg reports.
Illinois Federation of Teachers President Dan Montgomery says he likes how Walz, a former teacher, connects with Midwesterners.
Did a great job of speaking progressive values to sort of middle America. A Harris-Walz ticket, to me, is a sort of dream team for public education.
Chicago Teachers Union President Stacey Davis-Gates touted Walz making school meals free for Minnesota students.
It means that the least of these have an opportunity to have their needs met in the type of America that Harris and Walz are leading.
The union's members are already campaigning for Harris in Michigan. Tessa Weinberg, WBEZ News.
Tongue tie release is a medical procedure that involves cutting the thin tissue that connects the tongue to the bottom of the mouth. The procedure can help certain babies with breastfeeding, and some say it prevents future problems with sleep and speech. But a new report by the American Academy of Pediatrics found that tongue tie surgeries may be overused for babies. Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yusri has more.
Babies can be born with a tongue that's tightly tied to the bottom of their mouth, and in severe cases, it can cause problems with breastfeeding. A surgery known as a tongue tie release can help. But according to a new report from the American Academy of Pediatrics that represents more than 60,000 doctors across the U.S., the tongue procedure is overused. One survey found a more than 800% increase in the number of tongue tie surgeries between 1997 and 2012. But the Academy's report says evidence suggests that only a small fraction of babies actually need the surgery. The Academy recommends that families work with healthcare professionals like feeding therapists and lactation experts who can help with the early days of breastfeeding before turning to the procedure. I'm Farah Yusri.
Side Effects Public Media is a health reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest. It's based at WFYI in Indianapolis. Still to come, we'll learn about a measure in Illinois that would transform how the state funds higher education. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st show, the Illinois State Fair is underway for another year. We'll hear from the fair's manager and the director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Plus, Vice President Kamala Harris has a running mate. We'll talk about it with our Washington correspondent, Linda Kenyon. I'm Brian Mackey, and that's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. A measure in Illinois would transform how the state funds higher education. Peter Medlin has more.
NIU President Lisa Freeman served on the state's Commission on Equitable Public University Funding, and their task was to create a data-driven approach to funding higher ed. That's because Freeman says right now, there is no formula. She says it's largely, what did you get last year, and then all public universities get a flat increase or decrease. And Freeman says it's an unfair system because schools are different. Some have larger endowments than others or serve more low-income students.
We need a funding formula that's rational, that considers the size of the institution, the mission of the institution, and the type of students that the institution serves, because all of those have significant direct impact on the money you have to provide students with the experience that they expect, need, and deserve.
The NIU president says a funding formula would also provide much-needed stability year to year. She says universities typically don't know how much money they'll receive until later in the fiscal year, which makes long-term planning more difficult.
We have to guess, and having to guess means we have to be conservative, means sometimes we can't get ahead of lengthy procurement processes, we miss opportunities for growth, and it's very frustrating to the entire campus.
Freeman sat on the commission alongside students, professors, education nonprofit leaders, and legislators. Illinois Senate Majority Leader Kimberly Lightford was a co-chair on the commission, and she compared this process to when the state changed how K-12 education was funded back in 2017, which she was a key part of.
It took us years to do, and it was very political. And that's a part of why I created the commission, because I didn't want it to be legislative driven. I didn't want it to be a politically driven. I wanted to be expert driven.
Lightford says the K-12 funding formula has been successful so far and inspired the push to do the same for higher ed. For example, both formulas are based around adequacy targets, calculating how much total money an institution would need to provide instruction and services and how far they are from that funding target now. She says no Illinois public university is adequately funded now, and the commission's report shows that the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign would be the closest to adequacy, and Northeastern Illinois University is furthest from adequacy, although the numbers aren't final. The formula weighs multiple factors unique to each school, like the cost of instruction, operations and maintenance, student services, and number of low-income students. Lisa Freeman says it also considers the university's mission, like NIU's.
We have a distinct identity of combining access with a strong research mission. Our research mission requires investment, and supporting students who come from underserved communities requires an investment.
Speaking of investments, Senator Lightford's new bill requests a lot of additional higher ed spending.
Our new formula adds $135 million new dollars a year for the next 10 years. That will move everyone to adequacy.
Freeman says for years, state funding went down, which caused tuition to go up. From 2000 to 2020, state investment in colleges and universities in Illinois dropped by 46%, and tuition and fees doubled. Freeman says the lack of investment hurts enrollment, and some students leave the state for cheaper universities, and many low-income students simply can't afford to go to college at all. Over the past decade, Illinois public university enrollment is down 7%, and Freeman says the extra cash would make public universities more affordable and allow them to invest in student services to help them succeed once they're at school.
I think of academic support services, more peer tutoring, more advisors, earlier career services.
Senator Lightford says there would be a review panel to tweak the formula as they go, and they also have an accountability system tracking how funding is directed, if schools are taking steps to lower student costs, if enrollment is increasing, and student outcomes. And she says the bill's now filed, but the work isn't done yet. They hope this new bill and a new way of funding higher ed marks a new era for Illinois public universities, one that's more affordable and more stable than the past few decades. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 75 degrees. That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Tessa Weinberg, Farah Yousry, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.